Father, I thank you, Lord, for your gathering of your people today. Unto you we are gathered. The Bible says, unto Shiloh shall the gathering of the people be. Well, that was his place that he chose to put his name there. So, Lord, I thank you because of our fellowship this morning. And as always, the light coming into our hearts and our minds, our spirits through the word of God. And giving us understanding this morning. So let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning again. Good afternoon. Welcome everyone. Today's lesson, faith for healing and wisdom for health. So we're going to be talking about that. And I believe it's going to be, some powerful stuff for us to digest and, different flavor from the last 6 days, but here we go. The first thing that we want to realize in this lesson are the keywords that we have here. Four keywords, actually. We have faith, we have healing, we have wisdom, and we have health. So we're going to take it from, this is a subject that you cannot exhaust in a day, not even two or three. I'm going to try to approach it in a way that we can just put it together in a single lesson. But we'll see. I'll be giving us some scriptures about health, healing, and wellness, all that stuff. I will be giving us an acronym that can help us. And then I'll be talking about, I'm going to take an extract also from my lesson on the pillars of wisdom. Those of you who might have listened to that series, I'm going to take an extract from the wisdom pillar of prudence. And we're going to try to bring it all together and see, what the Lord will have for us here today. So let's start here about, our body. Because, we're dealing with the subject of healing and health. So God is concerned about our bodies, physical bodies, not just our spirit or our soul, as some may think. But here is where we will start. Many scriptures, throughout the Bible on various aspects of health and healing and wellness. But let's start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Why this is so important is because it focuses on our responsibility. So that's the part that I want to bring out from this text here. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20. Know ye not, he says. I hope I have someone who can help me post the scriptures today. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them, the members of an allot? God forbid. I'm starting from verse 15. And then he turns all the way down. But here's where I'm really going. What? Know ye not, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He talked about multiple things here, how to keep our body clean, even from, fornication and all that. But I want to focus on the part that talks about, our responsibility for the temple. How we treat the temple of the Holy Ghost in terms of our health. Knowing how to possess our vessels unto sanctification and honor. Making sure our body is reserved for the Lord, not for fornication or adultery. All of those are responsibilities. Today, I want to focus on responsibility in the areas of health. Your body, he says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, which are not, you are not your own. You are not your own, he says. You know, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, our responsibility is to glorify God in our body. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to check out and see if what we are doing, you know, glorifies God. In fact, what are we putting inside our body? Does it glorify God? You know, here's another one that says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I mean, how can eating or even drinking even be put in the same sentence as the glory of God? I mean, how can that? But because it is important. It is important, you know, whatsoever we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, whether you eat not or drink not, you know, whatever. It's all important. Now, some might argue and say, well, Jesus said, you know, what goes into the mouth comes out of the draft and it does not defile the man. You know, what defiles the man is what comes out of his mouth, because out of the heart comes, you know, all these evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, evil concupiscence, all these other things. Well, the man that Jesus is talking about there is a spirit man. But you can very well defile your body. Jesus didn't say it doesn't defile your body. You know, if you put poison into your mouth, you know, it will defile your body. That's for sure. You know, and a lot of things that we eat might be poisonous sometimes. You know, it's subtle and we may not know it. Well, we're not going to focus too much, because if I want to do the, you know, I'm not an expert on nutrition, so I'm not going to focus on that. You know, I'm going to focus more on faith and wisdom. Yeah, that, those are my areas, you know, I might say of expertise, but, you know, so I'm not going to focus on nutrition, but I'll call it out and let the experts of nutrition focus on that. Or you can search that out, but I'll call out some things in that area. But I want to talk about faith and wisdom in this regard. That's the one that I know. You know, so, but I'm just laying a foundation so that, you know, we can present the right lesson in the right framework, or present this lesson in the right framework without anybody saying, oh, why are we talking about that? Well, we've got to talk about everything. You know, Paul said that, you know, I shun not to declare unto you the full counsel of God. And, you know, those of you who have been coming, and I appreciate your presence here in this room for any length of time, you know we cover all kinds of subjects. So, you know, this we got to talk about as well, because this is important. Why is this important? Well, you know, if you're going to represent, you know, the other day we're talking about, you know, the reputation of the king in the last couple of days, and that the state and welfare of the citizens is a reflection on the name of the king of the kingdom. You know, we talked about that. Well, you know, if we are healthy, have a healthy, you know, outlook of life in life, and we're healthy and we're, you know, strong and all of that, you know, then it's a better reflection of the glory of God. But you know, if we are sickly and not healthy, you know, then, you know, that's a poor reflection of, you know, the God who is, you know, whose citizens we are in his kingdom. You know, so we cover that, you know, something like that the last 2 days. So this part here is also important. But we have some responsibilities to play in this regard. So, but first, let me give us some basic scriptures. I'm going to talk first about faith for healing. And then I'm going to switch and conclude with wisdom for health. Now, whatever the situation is, however we find ourselves in the bad health, you know, we can always believe God for our healing. That's number one. You know, I mean, there's so many things that God promised us about healing in the scriptures. We'll cover that, you know, those aspects first. Whether, you know, it is a small illness or whether it's a major illness, however we categorize it, God is able to heal them all. I mean, there's many promises. He promised to bring health and cure to his people. Jeremiah 33 and verse 6 says, I will bring health and cure, and I will cure them. That's right. And I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Well, one revelation today will be coming in the second half of this lesson. But here's God's promise, health and cure for you. You know, no matter how you got to where you are, you know, God can still bring health. That's Jeremiah 33:6. Here's Exodus 23:25. You know, just a few scriptures show us some of the things, you know, that God has promised. I'm not bringing the scriptures out in any particular order. Just bringing them out as, you know, as I recall them. You know, but many promises here. Here's what the Lord said in Exodus 23 and 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. These are the things that you eat and drink. This one is important because we're talking about whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The kind of bread and the kind of water you put into that body might be important. You know, I mean, it's important when we're talking about this aspect. So God is saying he will bless it. Well, when he puts a blessing on it, it's important to him. Why should he bless it? You know, so if it's not important, he should not bother to bless it. Just let you put any bread or any water into your mouth. But he said, I will bless it, and I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. I mean, if you see the way that these two things are put in the same sentence, what goes into your body, he's putting it right alongside with, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. When I bless your bread and I bless your water, I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So you can see as a revelation here, you know, the bread and the water, you know, may be connected with sickness. But the Lord said, when I bless it, it's like I'll cleanse what goes into you so that I may remove sickness from the midst of you. It's a powerful stuff if you really think of it. You know, so, you know, we need to cooperate with God, you know, and we're going to find that out, you know, in the second part of this thing. But he said, look, this is what I will do. There shall even nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. I will fulfill thy days and all of these things. And he put a lot of blessings out there. And, you know, we got to believe the word that God tells us. Yesterday we talked about his word is his bond and his name is his reputation. So the word of God, he goes by it. He's bound by it. 3 John 1:2 says, you know, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, you know, even as your soul prospers, not just your soul, but I also want your body. He says, you know, to prosper and to be in health, you know, very important. And just let's just look at some of these scriptures. You can mark them down and see what God thinks about our health. You know, these are scriptures to show us what God thinks about our health. Here's another good one in Jeremiah 17. What does God really think about our health? So let's, you know, those are the first set of scriptures that we're looking at here. You know, here is a prayer that Jeremiah was praying in Jeremiah 17 and 14. Heal me, O Lord, he said, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So we see, you know, that the Lord, he is the one that we should look to when we need healing. But he's also called the fountain of living waters, you know. But here's what he said in the previous verse. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. On they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, you know, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. You know, that reminds me of, you know, the scripture that says that the Lord, I mean, there are two evils, you know, that the people have, you know, carried out. You know, they have forsaken the Lord and hewn unto them the fountain that cannot bring forth any healing. That's in Jeremiah 2 and 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they had hewn to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Well, so, you know, we got to look to the Lord. He is the fountain. Yeah. That's why I played that song a couple of times at the beginning. The Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Malachi 4 and verse 2. Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. I mean, these are powerful promises. You know, if you fear the name of the Lord, and when you get sick, you can trust in the Lord for his deliverance and his healing. I mean, the Lord gave some prescriptions when we are sick. For instance, in James chapter 5, this is the element of faith and trust the Lord. You know, we're going to come to the element of the part that we must do later on. But here is faith and how we must trust the Lord. In James chapter 5, let's take a look at a couple of verses there from verse 14. I mean, when he gives a lot of prescriptions here, if you are happy, sing psalms. If you are sad, you should pray, and so on and so forth. You know, so there are many prescriptions here. It's kind of like, you know, a doctor might give you a prescription what to do. The Lord also gives some prescriptions here. So what he says, look, if you are sick, according to James 4, I mean 5 verse 14, if any man is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that prayer of faith shall save the sick. There's no gainsaying that. That's point blank in the scriptures. And we believe it and we practice it. I practice it. My wife and I, the church, we try to teach the people. When you're sick, call for the elders of the church. This is his prescription. You know, we're going to deal with later on in the lesson, we'll deal with, well, how you might have gotten sick in the first place. But I'm not dealing about that right now. I'm just saying, when you are sick, God can heal you. We know that. And we must have that, you know, right center in our mind. You know, that you can always call upon the Lord. And he can bring healing for us. But, you know, there's different ways he brings that healing too. And he will show you in the part of this lesson. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, here is what the Lord said. You know, I mean, this is a famous scripture. We read it, we sing of it. I am the Lord that healeth thee and all of that. You know, and so we know that the Lord is the one that can heal us. There's no question about that. You know, and but, you know, in this particular scripture, it's interesting the way that he puts it out. Out there, but he ties it to obedience, you know, and, you know, keeping the word of God. And as we often say, sometimes, you know, actually most promises in this word are tied to some kind of condition. Here's this one, the way he puts it. Four things that he says here. If you would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's number one. If you would do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. And if you will give ear to his commandments, that's number three. And if you keep all his statutes, that's number four. But all of them are saying the same thing. You know, obedience unto the Lord. You know, then I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Why did he put it like that? I mean, why would I need healing if I'm not sick? If you're not putting any sickness or disease on me, why do I need healing? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. The Lord that healeth us is a present continuous tense of his attributes, not only to bring healing, but to keep us in health and give us wellness. You know, it's not just a one-time thing. He healed me of some sickness. Well, he will heal you, but he will keep you well. That means he will not let sickness come near you. He will take away sickness from the midst of you. That's all part of it. You know, and there are many ways in which he does it. Also by revelation and knowledge and wisdom, which we'll come to in a minute. But first, I'm establishing the fact that the Lord has the ability, and we must trust that he is able to do all these things, you know, that, you know, he has promised here. You know, so, I mean, but let's read about, I mean, let's even, you know, let's start to get into some, you know, a bit challenging things here that we may read. Before I do that, let me read, you know, Isaiah 33 and verse 24. And I think we've quoted this multiple times in this room. This is the Lord's intention for us, you know, how he wants us to be healthy. And these are some of the benefits, you know, of the kingdom. We even talked about it during the kingdom series. The inhabitants of that place shall not say, I am sick. You know, he said, Isaiah 33 and 24, the people that dwell therein, they shall be forgiven of their iniquity. So right here, you see that he puts healing and wellness, you know, wellness here, because they will not say I'm sick. That's wellness. You put that alongside with forgiveness of their sin. So he's equally able to forgive our sins and equally able to keep us in health. You know, not just heal us one time. Well, we've seen scriptures that he will heal. And now here's a scripture that says he will keep you healthy. You won't even have to say I'm sick. And this is not just not saying you are sick when you are sick. We're going to come to that as well. When you are sick, you are sick. You know, so I'm going to come to that in the second part of this lesson. You know, but this one is saying, look, you will not be sick. It's not that you will be sick and say you are not sick. You know, but, you know, and that's something powerful stuff, you know, that the Lord, you know, has promised us. You know, let's take a look quickly at Psalm 147. I want to just read one verse there, I believe verse 3. You know, many goodness, many promises of his, the Lord's goodness, many promises of his blessing unto us, you know. And here he says in Psalm 143, the Lord healeth the, 147 verse 3, the Lord healeth the broken in heart. Well, depression, whatever, you know, he can heal that. You know, we see that the Isaiah, by the Spirit of the Lord, announced that even before he came. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, heal the brokenhearted, do all of these things. And Jesus went into the synagogue, picked up the book of Isaiah, read it, and said this scripture is fulfilled. So he announced that all of that stuff was prophesying about his ministry. Well, one of the things he says here in Psalm 147, verse 3, is that not only will he heal the broken in heart, it will bind up their wounds. Bind up their wounds. You know, that means you are already wounded. I mean, he's not talking about, you know, in this case, he's not talking about, you know, preventing you from being wounded. You're already wounded. You know, we saw this story in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan. That's what we call it, right? You know, who saw the man that was attacked by thieves and left, you know, wounded. They left him half dead. They left him for dead, wounded like that. You know, and this man came and bound up his wounds, you know, put medicine, put bandage, you know, whatever, you know, he needed to do, you know. So Keep that in mind.
He binded up their wounds.
You know, so how does he do it? Well, we'll get to it in a bit. But just keep in mind that the Lord is able to do that. You know, so when you have faith, let me just talk in general as I begin to switch this. When you have faith, and this is not just about sickness, this is about anything. Here's how I always present faith and wisdom when I talk about faith and wisdom. You know, think of a situation where you are in the ditch. You fell into the ditch. You know, miry clay. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, I waited upon the Lord and so on and so forth. And he brought me out of the miry clay. Well, you know, the Lord will bring you out of any ditch if you have faith. And in fact, if you have powerful faith, you can turn back the hand of the sundial. You know, Hezekiah was sick. The prophet came and told him, you will surely die. So set your house in order and put your things. You know, you're not going to recover of this sickness. You know, so now that you know you're going to die, just set your affairs in order and so on. And this man, by faith, he turned to the Lord and he turned back the hand of time. You know, so if you have powerful, potent faith, you can do just about anything. You know, fall in the ditch, no matter how, you know, strong the waves of death are trying to come over you, faith will pull you out of there. You know, if you have real power and faith with God, in the ability of God to deliver you out of any situation, if you have that kind of faith, he will deliver you too. And the psalmist said, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me, you know, heard me out of his holy temple. He delivered me out of all my sorrows. So he will deliver you. If you fall into any ditch, that's faith. Faith is powerful like that. On the other hand, if you look well with wisdom, you may avoid falling into that ditch in the first place. You know, so you can save yourself a lot of hours of prayer, you know, trying to exercise faith and all kinds of things, which, you know, faith is my favorite subject, you know, in life, in this Bible and everything. And, I love to say, I like to think of myself, you know, as a minister of faith. I've developed that over the years. I practice it, you know, I don't know if I've perfected it, but I'm close to it over the years, you know. So I love that subject, you know. However, I'm telling folks today that faith, though as powerful as it is, and will pull you out of any kind of ditch, wisdom might prevent you from falling into that ditch in the first place. You know, so when I teach on the subject of wisdom, that's what I often say. But they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other, really. You know, because, I mean, consider a farmer, for instance. You know, the farmer, you know, he has to use wisdom. You can't just go, you know, start, you know, planting seed in you know, among thorns. You know, or fallow ground, you know, wisdom, you know, and some lesson and knowledge will teach you what you need to do before you start farming. So you got to clear up, you got to break up the fallow ground, you got to clear out the weed, you got to plow the land, you got to do all of those things, you got to fertilize that. That's all wisdom. And you do that, you plant and you do everything you can to get, you know, to make sure that planting is nourished, has sunshine, has this and that. You know, and all that, pull out the weed from time to time. That's all wisdom, you know, and you must do that. You can't just fold your arms and plant and think, and you know, anything is going to happen. You got to use wisdom to help that planting along. Do what you can. You know, you don't dig up the seed, but you know, you clear the things around it and make sure it's got a good soil. You don't plant your seed among thorns. You know, you don't plant mixed seed. I mean, all of these things are in the Bible, you know. So, but I know at the same hand, on the other hand, after you've done all those things, you know, you still have to use your faith to trust God for rain, because you can't bring the rain, you know. And if you don't have rain, you know, then you are not going to get a harvest, or you have too much rain, it might even destroy your harvest. So as much as you are working and doing all your diligence, applying the knowledge of your farming and everything, you still got to use faith to trust the Lord for a bountiful harvest. because that part is from him. You can do everything you want, you know, on all the other side, but you know, that part is from him. And if you have to use your faith to trust the Lord to bring the rain that you need, not too little and not too much, you know, for a bountiful harvest. It's got to be just right. You know, the scriptures teach us lessons like this in other places where he talks about, look, you know, you can do things, but you got to rely on the Lord. You know, we have to do things. You know, we can't just say, okay, Lord's going to do everything. There's some things that we have to do. But even when you do those things, you still have to rely on the Lord for the eventual outcome. You know, so we know that already. So let's listen to this. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh wicked, but in vain. You know, Psalm 127. Psalm 127 verse 1, and then here's verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Well, the scriptures also say, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, you know, so shall thy poverty come as an armed man, you know, and so on. So we can't fold our arms. We can't be slothful. A slothful, a sluggard will not do anything. He would say there's a lion in the street, and he would, and we know all these things in the scriptures. You know, so, you know, you got to work hard. You know, Lamentation 3 and 27 and says that it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. You know, I teach that. You got to work hard. You got to do everything you can. You know, but you also got to remember that's the Lord that's going to put a blessing on it. You know, you might be, you know, keeping watch over the house, but if the Lord doesn't watch over it, it's in vain. You can do everything you want, but, you know, devil can still plow through there. You know, but when the Lord is keeping watch, then you're in safety. You know, so rising up early, staying up late, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but you have to know that, look, if you're not doing it with faith and the backing of the Lord, it's in vain. So you might work all so hard only to put the money in a bag of holes. So you see how these things go together. You know, so we don't want to, you know, teach these in one version that's skewed over another. You need faith. You need wisdom. You know, but when it comes to the area of health, we don't use enough wisdom. We try to use too much faith. There's no balance. And that's the one that I want to bring out today. And this is the reason why I'm putting the subject of faith first, so somebody doesn't think I'm knocking that. No, faith is my number one thing. You know, in fact, there are people in the Bible that when they were sick and they sought not to the Lord but to the physicians, God wasn't happy. You know, so we read that story. That story is in the story of, Hezekiah and so on. You know, so, God wants us to, you know, seek unto him, you know, whenever we are sick. You know, there's no question about that. You know, what I want to talk about today is how we may avoid some of that sickness in the first place. You know, so, you know, let's balance this lesson out. We don't want, you know, get only one side of it. You know, we want to balance it out. So to balance this out, we start by knowing that it is God's will and he will do it too. It is God's will to heal us when we are sick. Let me read this story for us in the life of Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you know, and verse 12. I might have said Hezekiah, but I meant Asa. You know, so let's read this story in the life of Asa. 2 Chronicles 16 and 12. Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceeding great. You know, he was diseased. in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Now, the disease started small until it became great. Why didn't he deal with it when he was small? You know, we're going to be talking about that as well. He did not deal with it and it became exceedingly great. Yet, you know, eventually, when he was almost too late, because he did not get help when he should have at the beginning, then when the thing became chronic, he did not even cry unto the Lord. You know, cried unto the physicians. And the Lord wasn't happy about that. But in this short verse of 2 Chronicles 16 and 12, we see a few things. First, he should have dealt with the thing when the sickness was still little. He could have dealt with it. He could have sought unto the physicians at that time and dealt with it. You allow the thing to get chronic into all of that, or you could even sought the Lord. Either way, but to just deal with it. You know, but he didn't. He let the thing fester into some severe thing. And then he started panicking. And at that time, he did not even remember the Lord. He only remembered the physician. So he didn't turn out well with him. You can read the rest of the story. You know, so there are many lessons hidden in, you know, some small verses of scripture, you know, many times. You know, so, but let me get to this topic of how we need to use wisdom. You know, Bible says wisdom is justified of our children. How we need to use wisdom. And I'm going to pull something out in a bit of, you know, my teaching on prudence as a pillar of wisdom, which I taught on this platform some time ago. And I may bring it back again, you know, because, you know, some of these lessons, you can't just, it's like reading, it's like the scriptures. You can't just read a scripture once and forever, you never read it again. You know, you go back, you meditate, same thing, you listen to a teaching, you got to go back to the replay, meditate on it here and there, and so forth, refresh your mind. You know, so I may bring some of the wisdom series back. Today I'm going to bring back some part of the wisdom series on that prudence that had to do with health. You know, but let's see some of the things that the Lord says here. I mean, that's we know there are many health laws that God gave in the Bible. And some people have dismissed those things because they say, well, those things were under the Old Testament. Maybe, you know, like in Leviticus chapter 11, the first dozen or so verses talks about all the things they should eat and all the things they shouldn't eat. And people have dismissed that because of, you know, the story that we see in Acts chapter 10. When Peter was seeing a vision, when he was hungry and while they were making ready, he saw a vision and many, you know, beasts and different things that seemed to come on a platter. And God told him to rise up and kill. In his mind, some of those beasts were unclean because he knew these scriptures. You know, he knew the lessons in Leviticus. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I've never eaten anything unclean. Well, and the voice of the Lord said to him, what the Lord has called clean, called not thou unclean. And the vision was repeated unto him three times. He didn't understand it. Why would the Lord be telling me to eat something that he knows is unclean? I have not eaten it all my life. You know, I mean, this man was a, you know, very pious, you know, in all those laws and things like that. But the Lord was bringing a lesson. It wasn't actually about the food and so forth. Because he found out later that it was about the Gentiles. Because when he went to the house of Cornelius, he said, now I remember, you know, what the Lord was showing me in that vision. You know, so that's what it was really about. Now, God's not, you know, look, health laws, God's nature laws are there. Not just for believers, you know. Anything that God put in nature, it's there. You know, there are some things that God put in nature before he even created man. He put those things out there. He called the seed to have life in itself. He called, you know, certain things to be certain ways, even before he brought the man out. You know, so whether it's not about faith or no faith, these things are there, you know. And that's why God will say, look, if you can dismiss, you know, the seasons of night and day, if you can dismiss, you know, the cycles of the sun and the moon and so forth, then you can change my covenant against Israel. I mean, he would refer to those things. Those things are in place, you know, and it's for your good many times. Now, today, we know that, look, you know, all things are lawful for me, but not necessarily all things are expedient. You know, today I'm not bound by something is unclean, you know, for quote unquote religious reasons. No such thing anymore. You know, if, you know, Bible says everything is sanctified by prayer. So I can sanctify anything by prayer. Now, if somebody tells me that this thing is offered unto idols, then I'm not going to eat it because, you know, if I eat it, then I'm going to weaken the other person's conscience. Not my conscience, but their conscience. Well, for me, why should I be judged by somebody else's conscience? But because of the sake of not putting a stumbling block before my brother, I mean, you know, defy from it. These are the things that Paul teaches. You know, so, but for me, I ain't pray over anything I eat. Don't bother me at all. That's what Paul was saying. You know, so, but it may not bother you for spiritual reasons or religious. Let me even call it religious. I'm not even going to call it spiritual. You know, for religious reasons, it may not bother you. But for health reasons, you better take heed. If you put poison in your body, you know, and you say, well, the Lord said, if we drink, any deadly thing shall not hurt us. That's if you drink, not that you should go drink. So if you go tempt the Lord and go drink poison, because the Lord said he will not put poison in your, you're going to be so sick, you might even die. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that have died for no reason at all that could have been avoided. And we're talking of people of faith. I'm not even talking of people of the world now. I'm talking of people of faith that have a Holy Spirit and so forth, and that are doing great things in the kingdom. I mean, why should you just summarily die, you know, because of, you know, something that could have been prevented? There's a lot of things, you know, that can be prevented. And people just don't, you know, they don't take heed to it. You know, so this is what, you know, I'm going to be talking about in this lesson. And I pray I can finish it today, but, you know, we'll see. If I don't, maybe I'll come back. My people are destroyed. Hosea 4 and verse 6. For lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. There should be no priest unto me. Now, that's a serious business. It's like God saying I will disinherit them. Because you rejected knowledge. Yeah, because you have forgotten me, say I will also forget thy children. Wow, that is strong stuff. My goodness. You know, but all of it because we rejected knowledge. So knowledge is powerful, you know, and the application of it, you know, is important in our lives. So that's the part that I want to call out today, you know. So there are many times we try to, you know, not balance things right. You know, people are sick, they won't do the right thing, and we'll be using faith and so forth. Now, if your faith, hey, look. You know, I already told you, if you're sick, call the elders of the church. That's what he said. You know, and, you know, if you really believe God and you don't doubt it in your heart, it'll work. You know, and that most of the time it works, but sometimes it doesn't work because the Lord wanted you to do something else. And there are other ways, you know, that the Lord can bring healing to us as well. You know, so let me read some things, you know, to us that Jesus said here. For instance, in Matthew chapter 9, you know, he said in verse 12, they that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. Now, that statement alone is so powerful. That tells you that, I mean, this is Jesus endorsing, you know, the work of physicians for people that are sick. So let's not knock that at all. You know, now if you have faith, and you can, through prayer, get it done. That's fine. But the work of the physicians is not to bring healing. They don't do that. You know, they manage your health. They can give you preventive care. They can give you management care. They can give you a cure. God is the healer. But physicians have a role to play. And the knowledge that physicians bring into our lives can help us avoid many things. Now, if you are sick, though, Jesus says, you may need a physician. If you are not sick, which you should not be sick. That's, he said, I wish above all things I should be in health. You know, the inhabitants of the land will not be sick. You know, and I will remove all sickness, you know, and all these things that we read earlier. So he's, the ideal thing is for us to be healthy and not sick. But when you are sick, you may need a physician. You may need healing as well. If you have faith for healing, that's good. And you'll be healed that way. But you can also have wisdom for your health. You know, in the first place, you may not need, you know, all that prayer for healing. There are some simple things that we can do, which we often neglect because we try to spiritualize it or be too, you know, whatever. You know, there are some simple things. Jesus said it right here. You know, he that is sick is the one that needs a physician. You know, so now there are reasons why people should eat well, nutrition and stuff. And we see that Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, he refused the diet of the king and all their dainty meats and all this stuff. And he stayed with the pulse and vegetables and things that he knew worked for him. And you can see that at the end, himself and his friends, they fared better than all the other people that ate all those meats and stuff. You know, whatever the reason, there was some secret. Now, these people, they were skilled in science and knowledge. You know, and there was some secret. They knew that, look, that stuff's not good for you. And we're going to just eat pulse and, you know, veggies and different things, you know, and the Lord's going to take care of us. And the Lord did, you know. Now, should you not eat meat? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking in general. That's up to you. If you want to eat meat or you don't eat meat. The Lord may reveal something to you, though. And your doctors may even tell you something. They may look at that will bring me to another point in a minute. Now, many people that will not even go for a health check because they're trying to use their faith. I have witnessed in this, my short life so far, you know, I'm not even 70 years old, but I have seen many cases of believers, some even close to home that I knew about, you know, that were obstinate, stubborn, and foolish, and wouldn't get help when they needed it. You know, there was a story of a young sister, you know, I knew this close up hand, you know, because at one time, she lived with my wife at my house many years ago. And then later on, you know, that was when we were in Nigeria. Later on, she got married, moved someplace else. You know, it was a time, you know, God bless her heart. She's gone now. It'll be with the Lord. She loved the Lord. I mean, she was somebody that was on fire for God. And she loved the Lord. You know, but, you know, they didn't use wisdom. One time she was sick. You know, I don't know whether it was her fault or her husband or both. You know, they wouldn't get help, you know, and they did not get healed. The way I say it is, the way I think of it is this. You know, when you're sick, call for the elders of the church. That's what the Bible says. And the prayer of faith shall save you. Now, if you call for the elders of the church with all your heart, you know, you don't go in there with a plan B. Go in there that there's no other option. God is going to heal me. Now, if you say when you are praying for healing, if he heals me, fine. If he doesn't heal me, fine. Then he's not going to heal you because you're already, you know, thinking of something else. You go in there with, there's no option. You have no choice, God. This is your name that's at stake here. You know, we thought all of that in the last couple of days. And he will heal you. However, if it doesn't happen, you say you are contradicting yourself. No, I'm just using wisdom. But wisdom is justified of our children. However, if you are not healed, you better get some help. Because if you don't, the story that I was telling you, they didn't get any help. They were obstinate. They were stubborn. They wouldn't go get help. They kept saying, no, you were going to believe God. Well, they did believe God, but it didn't pan out. You know, then finally, you know, when it got completely out of hand, which they could have taken an early detection might have saved that young sister's life. You know, when they got completely out of hand, they didn't even know that it was cancer. God forbid. I mean, that's a word that people don't even want to mention, especially in the household of faith. We don't want to mention it, but you know, you better mention it if that's the situation and deal with it. So anyway, they didn't want to hear it. But when it became far too late, then they start rush out to the hospital. I'm like, why? Why now? You could have done this years ago, you know. Then at the end of the day, they're scrambling all over the place. But at that time, it's far too late. Far too late. If you're going to go to the hospital when you are dying, you might as well have gone to the doctors when you had a chance. And they could have helped you. You know, so people get confused with this faith. You know, talk to me because I'm a man of faith. I don't know that there is anybody that has more faith than me. I can tell you that. But I got to use wisdom, because Proverbs 22 and verse 3 will tell you, you know, prudence, a prudent man will foresee the evil and will plan things according. The foolish will just go on anyhow, and then they'll get burnt. You know, so that's what I'm talking about today. And I'll call out some things on prudence in a minute. You know, but Jesus even told a story in Matthew 25. He said, look, when I was sick, you did not attend to me. When I was homeless, you did not take me in. When I was in prison, you did not visit me, etc., etc., etc. He said to some others, when I was sick, you helped me. Why is it Jesus saying when I was sick? He said, look, in as much as you do it to one of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. We know Jesus himself was not sick, but Jesus is acknowledging here that believers would be sick. You know, so when you are sick, you need help. And Jesus is blessing the people who treated those who were sick. They say, when I was sick, you treated me. You bound up my wounds. Jesus acknowledged the story of the Good Samaritan. He told the story himself, what the Good Samaritan did. And the religious folks who could have even prayed for the man, they are the ones that left the man wounded like that. You know, religious folks, they didn't do what they could have done. But the man who was an outcast, you know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They thought of them as second-class citizens. In fact, if they wanted to insult you, they call you a Samaritan. They told Jesus one time, didn't we say that you are a Samaritan, you have a devil? I mean, that's a great insult in their own mind, call you a Samaritan. But this was a Samaritan that did the right thing. You know, came off his horse, bound this man's wound, treated his wounds, poured oil, medicine, you know, band-aid, whatever. Then took him to the inn for them to care about physical care. And the religious leaders, they didn't even try to pray. They left the man wounded like that. You should listen to our lesson called Don't Leave Me Wounded Like That. It's somewhere on this platform. It's a replay. Anyway, so Jesus told these stories. So we see that, look, when you are sick, there are many ways that God can help. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22 says, you know, is there no balm in Gilead? Yeah, and people read this, religious people and even Pentecostals read this, you know, this text, and they try to spiritualize it. Let's just read the text again and see what it says. It's not what people think it says. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? That's the question. People read this thing and then start saying, well, Jesus is the balm of Gilead. Maybe, you know, but that's not what he's saying here. You know, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You know, you can be recovered through the help of physicians. That's what this scripture is saying. Let's not spiritualize it away and get carried away until you are so sick that you die. God forbid. There was a young man who was in my life some, you know, years ago. Powerful young man. He even lived in my house here in Phoenix, Arizona with my wife and I for 6 months. Powerful young man. And, you know, he went off and was doing some great things. you know, it was not for my culture, but was trying to learn our culture. And God was using him powerfully. And he was a great young man. He traveled everywhere. He even went to Nigeria. He's not a Nigerian. He was a black American. But he was trying to learn many things. He went everywhere, places that people wouldn't even go. He went in the midst of, you know, Al-Qaeda and all these things that were there, you know, Boko Haram and everything. He went everywhere, preached the gospel, powerful young man. He feared nothing, was fearless, you know. But, and I love that young man. Unfortunately, he passed away when he was very young. He was only in his 30s. And it was something that could have been, you know, avoided. And when he passed away, I lamented. I said, look, heaven doesn't need you. What are you going to heaven for? The earth needs you because of a powerful man who can preach the gospel fiery among the youth. You know, and he was doing a great work. But he didn't take care of his body. He overstressed himself. I mean, he overextended himself. And the thing came crashing down on him. He died when he was away somewhere, you know, on a trip. That particular trip was not a mission trip, but it was some of the stuff that he did. You know, but he had warning signs whether he could have taken care of. He did not. And unfortunately, you know, and many people have warning signs. When you have something as simple as a headache that won't go away, it's a warning sign. It's an alarm. It's going off on your body. And people don't say, when some people suddenly have a pain in their chest. These are severe things that the medical community warns us about. People don't pay attention. And the next thing you know, one day, you're going to slump over and die. And people will say, what happened? He was not even sick. How do you know he wasn't sick? You know, so people would not even get their health check done. And they could have discovered, you know, we don't need to give in to fear or be paranoid. But you need to use wisdom, get your health check, you know, take advantage of the knowledge of medicine and things. And garnish information, gather information so you know what to deal with. Look, if somebody had a condition that was just brewing in their body and, you know, medical science could help you and tell you, look, change your diet, do this, do that, do that. Most of the time, they can correct that thing without any problems. They can live a lot longer and be able to do more for the Lord. Yeah, but if you don't do it, you just, you know, be stubborn and obstinate and say, well, I'm going to use faith and so on. Well, if you use faith and it works, great. You know, but if it doesn't and the situation persists, you better get some help. You know, because the dead cannot praise the Lord. The dead cannot walk for God. Only the living, ladies and gentlemen, can walk for God. And, you know, and there is not a single person on this platform right now. There's not a single person that's listening to this. There's not a single person in the world that's a believer that has not faced some kind of sickness or the other. You can't do it. You know, I knew of some brethren who are always claiming that they were never sick. You know, they never been to the hospital. And it was a pride thing that they had. And it was good. Yeah, I was like that once. For a long time, I didn't even know. People would give testimony of healing. I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, I don't have a testimony of healing. One day I was even telling the Lord, why don't I have a testimony of healing? All these people, you know, I was a young man, very young there. And the Lord said, I gave you something better. I gave you divine health. And I said, wow. You know, but one day it was my turn to be sick. You know, you can't escape it. God, the promise of God is there. When you do get sick, he will heal you. And there are many ways that he can heal you. He can even use the physicians, he can use the doctors, he can use all of these things. But if you don't take care of it, people end up dead that should be living today. You know, and then it's just a waste. It's a waste of a life that could have been still on fire for God. And doing things. If you die prematurely because you didn't take care of your health, you go to heaven. Heaven doesn't need you. So let me call that out right now. Some people say that's sacrilege. No, check it out again. Heaven doesn't need you. God needs you here on earth. That's why Jesus said, I pray, John 17 and verse 15, Father, that you don't take them from the world, but keep them here from the evil. Keep them well. keep them from sickness, keep them from disease, so that they can represent. And for us to be able to represent in this kingdom, we have to have wellness. We've been talking about kingdom series for the last few days, and this is part of, you know, being able to function well in that kingdom. Well, let me give you some things from, because the time is far going here, on the lessons of prudence that we talked about. You know, prudence is a pillar of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 12. You know, prudence can be defined as the quality of being cautious or exercising caution, shrewdness, common sense, or circumspection as to danger or risk. You can find that in Proverbs 22 verse 3. When I was teaching these lessons, both here on this platform and at the church, I would read a definition in the dictionary, and then I would let the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I would, you know, I would give an expanded version of that definition by the way the Holy Spirit gave it to me. So some of the things I got from dictionary, some of it come by the Holy Spirit, put it all together, you know, and the ability to govern yourself by use of reasoning, conduct yourself with knowledge. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16. All of these things are prudence. The quality of acting with care, concern, and thought for the future as it relates to your time, your health, your work, career, education, family, marriage, etc. All of these are prudence. And I gave many scriptures, you know, such as, you know, Proverbs 4:23, you know, and so on and so forth. Now, Romans 12 and 1. Now, the one I want to talk about, the ability to manage your health responsibly in observing God's health laws. That's prudence. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, talks about, you know, whatever you do, you know, whether it's eating or drinking. And the question is, does your eating and drinking glorify God? Does it help your body, or does it put more, your body at more risk? Are there some other things that you should be doing that you are not doing that could have helped your body to nourish and be nourished and taken care of? Now listen to this. If you don't take care of your health, you may suffer many things and you may need medical attention and healing sometimes. We talked about that, you know, but if you are prudent in the first place in managing your health, you may be able to enjoy divine health most of the time. Now that's wisdom for health and healthy living. Faith is for your healing, and wisdom is for healthy living. That's the title of this room. When God help out, God, faith even direct you to wisdom. There's some things even doctors will tell you, there's some things you can do. You can change your diet, you can do this, you can exercise, you can do this, you can do the other. But you got to do those things early, you know, early detection, early warning systems. You know, even in aviation, they have the AWACS, you know, the early warning systems, you know, that, you know, warn you of impending danger. Well, Holy Spirit, wisdom, the Word of God, you know, the thermometer of the Spirit in our lives. These are one early warning systems, and sometimes a little headache, a little pain in the chest, you know, swollen legs, swollen arms, all these things and so forth, you know, obesity and things that just don't, that are not right. These are warning signs and people don't pay attention. And one day, suddenly, boom. And then they say, oh, he wasn't even sick. How do you know he wasn't sick? You know, so they carry this sickness, but they didn't do anything. But according to the National Institutes of Health, now this is a factor that I looked up. According to the National Institutes of Health, dietary factors, you know, or poor dietary factors may have disease risks. Here are some of them. If you eat too much, you can check this out in the National Institutes of Health on their website. I pulled it out of the website. If you eat too much, you may become overweight and obese. And that will be put you at risk for many heart diseases. This is a known fact. You know, we have a lot of medical people that come on this platform. They'll tell you, you know, if you eat too much sugar, or too much salt, or you have too much fat in your diet, it can raise your risk for certain diseases. It's a known fact. You know, if you eat healthier, It can lower your risk for heart disease. It can lower your risk for stroke, for diabetes, for other health conditions. A healthy eating plan, this is all from their site. A healthy eating plan emphasizes vegetables, fruits, whole grains, fat-free and low-fat dairy products, which includes poultry, fish, beans, eggs, nuts, limits saturated and trans fats, sodium and added sugars. Like, I'm not a nutritionist. I just copy this from their site. Many major cardiometabolic diseases, such as heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, you know, all of these things, they pose substantial health and economic burdens on the society. Well, on your family too. They're talking about society. They pose these things on economic burdens on yourself and your family. If you get sick with these things and you have to go to be hospitalized, have surgery, you have to be, you know, pay a lot of medical bills and so on and so forth. Many of these things could have been avoided. You know, there's no point in praying and believing, you know, for good health when you were, if we are constantly piling toxic things into our body. That's my saying, not their saying. You know, piling toxic things into our body and then believing God. You know, remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where we started. And even Jesus warned against surfeiting and drunkenness. Did you know that? In Luke 21 and 34, Jesus said, you know, surfeiting and drunkenness may even have spiritual consequences. You eat too much, or you drink the wrong things, and so forth. You know, it might even make you miss the day of your visitation. Even spiritual things, a day might come upon us unawares. You know, so the lesson today, and I may develop this later if I get a lot of questions, you know, but what I'm trying to say here is this. You know, we need to take care of our bodies. And a little care at the beginning is just common sense. You know, may help and prevent a lot of prayers. Some people fast and pray when they already have an advanced blood disease. You know, advanced situation that could have been prevented. Now, in some cases, well, we know that you may not know anything about it. And, you know, and maybe it was not detected on time. God will still help and God can still heal. But what I'm saying today is let's use both sides. Let's use faith for healing. Let's use wisdom for wellness in the first place. Use both, not one or the other, both. You may be believing God and doing all the right things and you may still fall sick. You know, we have situations like that. People are eating right. They are doing all the things in the world that they know to do. But, you know, there's still a crack somewhere and they still got sick and they didn't know it. And even it may not be detected, even though they are going for health checks. I mean, but you've done everything you can, you know, and you trust the Lord for the rest. But you must do what you can. Now, here's an acronym I wanted to leave you with. And I found this on online. And this is not mine. It's called New Start. New Start. It's an acronym. And this may help us, you know. So let me, I thought when I found it, I said, oh, that's a good one. I'll use that. New Start. It's an acronym. Each letter means something. N is for nutrition. E is for exercise. W is for water. So that spells new. And these are the things that can help keep you healthy and stay healthy. Now, that's new. What about start? Well, S is for sunshine. You need to get some sunshine. Remember, I said I'll talk about sunshine in a bit. T is for temperature. You know, these are even some warning signs. You know, simple, you know, temperature in the body is a warning sign. You need to check these things all the time. A is for air. You know, make sure you have the right level of air and oxygen and so forth. You know, sometimes even just outdoor walking among trees and vegetation and so on, and give you some right level of, you know, air. R is for rest. You got to get the right kind of rest. Even Jesus talked about it, didn't he? You know, he talked about it. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, because there was so many going and coming until there was not even, you know, leisure, not even so much as to eat. You'll find that in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no pleasure so much as to eat." Jesus taught these things. And the last one, which is T, is trusting in the Lord. Anyway, so new start. You know, when you've done all these things, at the end of it all, you still have to trust in the Lord, because it's vain. And except the Lord is watching over you, you may do everything and there may be one little crack somewhere and you may still get sick, in which case the Lord will still heal you. But let's do everything we can. You know, you are, you know, have responsibility to keep the body because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. You have the responsibility to not put toxin in your body and then be praying. You know, no, you have the responsibility to, you know, visit physicians when you can. Jesus said, you know, physicians are for the sick. You know, Jeremiah 8:22 tells you that, look, if you use the right medicines in the beginning, that's what a balm is. So medicine, ointment, medicine, and so forth. You know, the physicians, they give you prescriptions and help you, you know, and you may bounce back. You know, we've known, you know, people who have had serious situations, you know, even what could have led to cardiac arrest. But, you know, they dealt with it initially when they saw the warning signs. And today they are back healthy and still working for the Lord. So there's simple things that can save lives that people don't know. I mean, do you even know how to do CPR? I mean, somebody is choking with food next to you. Do you know what to do, how to help them? I mean, these are lessons of life that we know. And there's so many things that could be avoided that are not avoided. And unavoidably, people think people get sick. No, there's very few things that are unavoidable. A lot of things can be avoided. And a lot of things we can deal with up front. Anyway, that's my lesson today. I'm looking at, and I'm already at the bottom of the hour. Wow. You know, so I'm going to leave it there. If there are more things to develop along these lines, we'll come back and develop it. But I want to allow time for people, because this is something that warrants discussion. And we have people on this platform right now that I'm looking at that are in the audience that know more about nutrition and all these things and health, but they're in healthcare than myself. But this conversation, you know, should help trigger some meaningful discussions. You know, I'm approaching this in the aspect of faith and wisdom, not just, I'm not a healthcare professional. I don't know many of these things that I've talked about as much as others who might be here. So we invite you to come and tell us. You know, but I know faith and I know wisdom, you know, and I'm telling you, as someone that knows both of these aspects of life, these great aspects of life, that look, you got to use both when it comes to your health management. You must have faith, you know, but you must also use wisdom in the first place. So faith for your healing, wisdom for your health. Wisdom will help to keep you in health and healthy living. And faith will pull you out of it. You know, when you've done everything else and you still didn't work, well, faith will pull you out anyway. Faith will pull you out of the ditch. Wisdom will keep you from falling into the ditch in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave it there. Let's hear from others who are even more proficient in these areas. You know, those of you who are in healthcare, come and speak to the things I have spoken here and see whether I spoke the truth. And then, you know, let's see how we deal with this in the house of God. We don't want to be losing people in the house of God just through lack of foolishness, obstinacy, and lack of wisdom. And we say we're using your faith and everything. Use faith if it works. You know, I use faith all the time and it works. But I still do. Here's a disclaimer. I do my regular health checks all the time. And in fact, now that I'm getting a bit older, you know, I'm scheduling, you know, normally they say you do every year. I'm scheduling even 6 months now with my doctor, because even the you know, insurance may not pay for it. I said, so what? I can't carry my money into the grave. If you die, the money is no good. Spend the money. Keep yourself healthy. I'll pay for the second one. Because, you know, if something you could have discovered in 6 months, if you waited another 6 months before you discovered it, now you've lost some time. Well, that's my thinking. You know, so what I'm saying is, you know, look, we do eye checks. People don't even do vision check until their vision develop all kinds of things, cataracts, this and that. They can't even see. And then they have to have surgery. A lot of things can be detected early and prevented. People don't do their dental health check, you know, until, you know, their teeth. You know, one time when I was a young man, I used to eat a lot of sugars and chocolate bars and all these things, you know, until I had to have expensive cosmetic surgery. And after that, this was years ago, I found out that, you know, chocolate, you know, you can be eating a $12,000 chocolate, piece of chocolate, if you are not careful. And I said, well, I'm not doing any of that anymore. You know, so I stopped eating all of that. You know, one time, you know, when I was getting a bit older, when I hit the age 40, you know, I found out some things which I say, wow, you know, I stopped with the red meats, with all the ice cream. You know, I was an ice cream lover, you know, always the butter pecan and all these things in my fridge and my refrigerator. And any smaller, you know, I love that stuff. You know, when I hit age 40, this was years ago, I cut all that stuff away because I figured that, look, you know, in order for me to be here for my wife and my children, I better be healthy. I started eating all this stuff and pile all this stuff in my body. I mean, I knew all that stuff, but I wasn't paying attention to it. But finally, it dawned on me, and I hit age 40, that, look, my goodness, you're not getting any younger. I used to be a sportsman. You know, I used to run and do all these things. I found out I couldn't run as fast as I thought I could. I said, well, you better do some things to help your body. What am I saying? Well, you know what I'm saying. Let's talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that the Lord will give us understanding. Paul said, look, I speak as to wise men. The Lord give you understanding in the things that I say. Well, may the Lord give us understanding, and may we take matters into your hands, basically is what I'm saying. You know, when it comes to your health, you got to take matters into your hands. You got to do everything you can and then trust the Lord. So remember the acronym, the New START acronym, you know, which people can tell you more about nutrition. I'm not a nutritionist. People can tell you about exercise. You know, I love exercise, but I'm not an expert in that. But they'll tell you how that can help. Water, I've been told, you know, you drink more of it, it'll help your body. They will even tell you the proportions of water that you should drink. You got to get sunshine. Got to be out there. One time my doctor told me I wasn't getting enough vitamin D, you know, because I, you know, cooped up in the house all the time. You know, simple things like temperature. You know, got to get enough air, oxygen. You know, these are things they check when you go to the hospital. You know, you got to get enough rest. You know, rest is a recipe for many things. You know, when people don't have enough rest, they are prone to even small things. They become susceptible to, I mean, very even small things, you know, just because they're not well rested. You know, your body has a way of recouping while you are resting. God designed it like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, trust in God. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's wrap it up there. God bless you all. You know, let me hear from you, everyone that's in the audience. You may not even be a health professional, but you found out some of these things that I'm saying to be true. So come to the stage and let's share. Let's talk. God bless you. Good morning and good afternoon. That's our lesson in faith for your healing and wisdom for your health and wellness.